Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 58 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
It could adjust somewhat, but a lot of it will depend on individual customer usage.
Kentucky power bills may arrive late, but customers can expect lower bills once it warms up.
A Floyd County man convicted in a mass shooting in 2011 has been paroled.
Kentucky's governor says violent video games and TV shows are to blame for mass shootings.
Harrison County High School was open today in spite of possible threats at the school.
Two bills recommending consolidation of Kentucky's counties and school districts have been filed in the House.
In sports, Rowan's boys host Fleming County tonight in Moorhead.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 41 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Customers with Kentucky Power can expect a delay in their bills following a January 18th order by the Kentucky Public Service Commission. The KPSC introduced new rates and a credit for demand-side management charges that fund Kentucky Power's energy efficiency program. Allison Barker is the corporate communications manager at Kentucky Power. She says the delay is in part due to Kentucky Power's testing of the new rates.
We needed to incorporate those new rates into our computer system to make sure that the bills were accurate. So once we got the new rates into the computer system, we wanted to test it and review it because we wanted to make sure the bills were reflected the new rates accurately.
Barker also says bills may not change much until temperatures start to rise and customers begin to see less energy to heat their homes. Bills are expected to be delivered about a week after customers would normally be expecting their bills.
A Floyd County man sentenced to 20 years in prison for attempted murder is now free. According to EKB-TV, 51-year-old Colonel Lewis Bolin of Garrett pled guilty to 6 counts of attempted murder following a 2011 mass shooting at J&J General Store at Gunlock. Despite being sentenced to 20 years, a state parole board last month recommended he be released after serving less than 7 years behind bars. Bolin was released last Friday and will remain under supervision for the next 7 years.
Two people are dead after crashing a pickup into a Breathitt County creek. WYMT reports 35-year-old Jimmy Clemens and 42-year-old Calvin Clemens were found yesterday morning in Quicksand Creek off Kentucky 30. Everett Houndsnell spotted the truck and called 911.
And I went down and talked to these men here. And I looked back and saw the vehicle in the creek. And we looked at it, see whether any doors open, and there wasn't no doors open. So we was thinking that somebody had to be in it.
Officials say the victims appear to have been in the creek for several hours before they were discovered. The investigation is ongoing.
Defense attorneys want to take the death penalty off the table for a man accused of murdering a 6-year-old boy. Police say Ronald Exontis broke into a Versailles home in December of 2015 and killed Logan Tipton. Exontis appeared before the Woodford County judge yesterday, where the defense attorneys asked for a mental evaluation. Defense attorney Bridget Hoffler requested that the judge limit disruptive behavior in the courtroom.
You have a totally innocent victim, child victim, which of course raises more emotion.
The trial is scheduled to begin August 11th. However, the defense filed a motion to reschedule for a later date.
Kentucky's governor says gun regulations would not have prevented the Marshall County school shooting. In a Facebook video posted yesterday, Governor Matt Bevin says while what happened at Marshall County High School was a tragedy, it has nothing to do with gun regulations.
The gun is not the problem. Do we need to be thoughtful and intentional about who has access to what and what that ultimately means? Of course. And there's no responsible gun owner who doesn't believe that.
Bevin says things like violent video games and movies are leading to a, quote, cultural problem. He's calling on people in positions of power to come together to create a dialogue to repair the fabric of America.
Marshall County High School reopened the day after the shooting on Tuesday, killing 2 classmates and wounding many others. The school day began with an assembly. WPSD-TV reports that the school district sent an email to parents announcing classes would resume today. The email told parents that they could attend the assembly with their children. Police say two students were killed, 14 were wounded by gunfire, and 7 others suffered other injuries when the boy opened fire at the school Tuesday before classes.
Parents of students in Harrison County are concerned after 2 reported threats against the high school. Cynthiana police say 2 juveniles have been taken into custody. Police tell LEX 18, they received the first report of a possible threat around 10 p.m. on Thursday, saying violence would happen during school hours Friday at the high school. Harrison County Schools posted on Facebook saying the threat toward Harrison County High School was confirmed and the suspect is in custody. The names of those involved cannot be released since they are both juveniles. Any student who was absent Friday will be given an excused absence.
A Kentucky lawmaker filed a bill to allow all schools to have an employee with a handgun, even if there's not a law enforcement officer. Senators Stephen West and Ralph Alvarado filed the bill in response to the shooting at Marshall County High School. If passed, the bill would allow a designated employee to act as school marshal. Alvarado says lawmakers have to do something.
A lot of our schools already have officers that can do that, but there are some smaller schools who don't have that opportunity, don't have the funding perhaps. This would allow them to be able to create that environment if they want to.
If passed, the bill would allow the marshal to have a concealed carry license and to be able to use a firearm if necessary. Lawmakers say the marshals would generally be required to keep guns in a locked and secure area that is readily accessible to them.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
The Craft Academy for Excellence in Science and Mathematics at Morehead State University is a dual-credit residential high school program for select juniors and seniors. Students engage in specialized research projects guided by MSU faculty with a focus on innovation, design, creativity, civic, and regional engagement. Tuition, housing, and meals are provided at no cost. Major in you at Morehead State University. Apply online at morehedstate.edu/craft-academy.
As school choice advocates rally in Frankfort and across the state, a battle is brewing over a proposed statewide scholarship tax credit aimed at helping low-income children to attend private schools. WUKY's Josh James reports.
The halls of the Capitol are teeming with 7th and 8th graders donning yellow scarves. They're students from 6 inner-city schools run by the Diocese of Covington.
The diocese has taken over these schools because they needed help with funding.
Assistant Superintendent Kendra McGuire says a development department raises funds to pay the costs, and she's brought the students along today, both for a field trip and to advocate for House Bill 134. If enacted, Kentuckians who donate to organizations offering private school scholarships would receive a tax break.
All of our schools do a really good job, but we have families that if they could afford it and these tax credits would be able to give them the opportunity, then they can choose what's best for their children.
But public school advocates argue the bill could siphon millions from state coffers, just as the governor's proposed budget scales back state support for local school districts. Louisville resident Linda Scherer worries about
public schools trying to educate children with less money, fewer resources, and the way things are going, maybe fewer teachers.
HB 134 sets aside $25 million for the tax credits in the first year. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
House Bill 243, sponsored by Republican State Representative Toby Harold of Beattyville, would change Kentucky's political landscape in the most literal way. According to LEX 18, the bill would consolidate 100 counties into 34. Larger counties, such as Fayette, Jefferson, Warren, and Pike, would remain unchanged. The counties could be renamed and local governments would consolidate. A similar bill, House Bill 242, would also reduce the number of Kentucky's county and independent school districts. Boyd County would retain its own school district despite merging with Martin and Lawrence in House Bill 243.
University of Kentucky President Eli Capiluto appealed to Kentucky lawmakers yesterday, warning of the potential fallout from Matt Bevin's proposed 6% cut to higher education. Capiluto says the governor's budget includes a roughly $26 million reduction, which could undermine UK's workforce development efforts and public health initiatives. The president also cites the 6 UK programs that were slated for elimination, but have gone on to generate startups, creating new businesses in the state. Despite this, Representative George Brown has voiced skepticism that the cuts would be altered if the budget gains final approval.
I think that probably because the governor proposed his budget, it's going to be difficult to make changes to it and or override it.
Capilouto says he appreciates the tough choices facing legislators this session and hopes to be a partner in the budget process.
The Jewish community in Lexington held a unity and solidarity prayer service Thursday night after facing anti-Semitic vandalism. Lexington police are investigating the breaking of a sign in front of the Jewish Student Center at the University of Kentucky. Avraham Litvin told the crowd that love is stronger than hate.
The biblical command to love your fellow as yourself means look beyond those things that can divide us or seem to be different, race and gender and religion and background and all those differences, and look to the core. And at a core level, each and every one of us are children of God.
Dozens of people from all walks of life joined the service to support them. Litvin says the outpouring of support has been overwhelming.
Potential political candidates have just a few more days to file paperwork. WMKY's Arlo Barnett has the story.
Kentucky's primary elections will be held May 22nd, and the last day to file nomination papers is 4 p.m. on January 30th. In Rowan County, nearly every major role in local politics is up for grabs, including the offices of judge executive, county and commonwealth's attorney, magistrates, judges, county clerk, circuit clerk, jailer, coroner, surveyor, PVA, constable, sheriff, U.S. and state representative seats, two school board seats, along with both Moorhead and Lakeview Heights' mayor and council. Those who want to run for local office need to pick up their paperwork at the clerk's office at the courthouse. All county offices are filed with the Round County Clerk's Office, then forwarded to the Secretary of State's office. Those wishing to run for federal, state, or judicial office need to file their paperwork with the Secretary of State in Frankfort. Qualification varies depending on the office sought by each candidate. For those interested, a complete list of qualifications and filing fees can be found at elect.ky.gov. Arlo Barnett, WMKY News.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for this weekend, continuing into next week, tonight mostly clear with a low around 37. Tomorrow, periods of showers mainly after 2 p.m., high near 54, chance of precipitation is 80%. Tomorrow night, showers mainly before 3 a.m., low around 38 with a chance of precipitation at 90%. Sunday, scattered showers mainly before 8 a.m., patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 51. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 60 degrees in Inez, 58 degrees here in Moorhead and in Ashland, 57 degrees in Winchester, and 56 degrees in Flemingsburg.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff ponders some old-school thinking being done by some youthful students.
The most common communication complaint recently polled students had about their peers in society at large had to do with lack of attention. To them, other people seem to be exhibiting behaviors that signal a lack of focus, concern, involvement, or to use a word that came up many, many times, engagement. People are present, but not attending, particularly not attending visually and with other forms of physical focus. Students are noticing this. They're noticing it between themselves, and they're noticing it among us all. This bothers them because behaviors indicating a lack of attention discount the value of their presence, the conversation, and the relationship. Phones get in the way, they say. Social media get in the way. Demands of maintaining relationships through these devices gets in the way of relationships in the so-called face-to-face world. Many students miss seeing the eyes, the engaged, responsive gestures, and the encouragement of feedback that is empathic and focused rather than cursory. Now, among professionals, we know there's tacit agreement that the phone and other devices that get in between us when we're together at work are necessary evils. We instantly understand when someone has to dump what we're doing to take a call or a text, given the networks that we're part of. But students are seeing these behaviors, the interruptions, the constant dragging of the eyes to the screen. They see these behaviors between us and them, and between one another, and even more worrying, among those younger still, and none of it in the professional setting. This is daily life. What's nice about such a problem is that it's about communication, and communication is entirely within our power to transform. When we have a choice, as people, not professionals, to be present, to look, to inquire, to respond, at least to act as if we cared about what's going on in front of us, we ought to make that choice. The generations coming up behind us need to be shown, it's possible and practical to put people and place above phones and remote connections. To think so is not imposing old-school thinking on the youth. Rather, it is giving them something they're apparently longing for, the fashion of a recent old time. And yes, it could be a false nostalgia about days that were old, but maybe not that good, but I don't think so. They are the last generation to have had it both ways in roughly equal measure. They've known life before and after the insidious cleavages of communication technology. And I hear most of them, in the infrequent straw polls the start of school makes possible, I hear most of them saying they're longing for one of the simplest, easiest, and yet rarest communication qualities, attention in the existential presence of the other. Are they pining for something they once had, or something they simply wish we all had? Either way, change is as simple as finding the off switch. Besides, the phone companies and researchers are warning with increasing urgency to keep our phones and devices away from our bodies. So why not get that done and instigate a little healthy reversion into some old-school listening and responding in person?
Hell, you crazy.
Maybe. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. It's 4:46 and 58 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Logan Pemberton, and we are so glad to have you with us on this spring-like Friday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Morehead State University has many points of pride, including Dr. Chris Miller, interim dean of the College of Education. Dr. Miller was recently elected president of the Association for Educational Communications and Technology Foundation, an international organization focused on improving instruction through technology. Dr. Chris Miller, one of MSU's many points of pride. Major in you at Morehead State University. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu.
The Vikes are at home. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Rowan County boys basketball team has a home game tonight against rival Fleming County. The 11-9 Vikings have won two of their last three games, and tonight's matchup makes the fourth game Rowan has played in a week. Coach Sean Thacker says that Rowan County has to work hard to not have a repeat of the last time Rowan played Fleming earlier this season when Rowan lost 57-49.
They have a shot at being the one seed right now, and Crump and company are playing much better basketball as the year goes on. They're athletic, strong, physical team, and we got to be ready to go play. We'll have to play better than we did over there earlier in the season if we want to have any success.
Fleming is 5-15 this season and 2-2 in district play. Tonight's game tips off at 7:30. The Rowan County girls basketball Vikings have an away game tomorrow against Morgan County. Rowan was on a 5-game winning streak until they lost last night to Russell 67-46. Rowan is 10-7 this year while Morgan County is 6-11. Tomorrow's game starts at 7:30 p.m. The Morehead State basketball Eagles look to continue conference play tomorrow with a matchup against Austin Peay at 8 in Tennessee. The Eagles are coming fresh off of a close 87-81 loss to Murray State yesterday, but Coach Preston Spradlin says that tomorrow's game will be a more physical game for his team.
We got to come hooked up. We got to come ready. It'll be a battle. It'll certainly be a battle in the paint. So we got to come physically ready, and we got to get our mindset, put this one behind us tomorrow after we watch some tape and learn from it, and then get ready for a different game plan.
The Eagles are 6-13 so far this year and are 2-6 in the OVC, while the Governors have won two of their last four games and are 11-10 overall and 6-3 in conference play. The Morehead State women's basketball Eagles are hoping to go 3-for-3 tomorrow with their away game against OVC rival Austin Peay. The 15-7 Eagles look to add another win to their two-game streak in Tennessee tomorrow after beating Murray State yesterday 82-80. Head coach Greg Todd says that the Governors are going to be a tough match because they are a deep team to play.
They're a team that, for the most part, I think with our limited roster, most of the teams are only playing six or seven girls. Unfortunately, Austin Peay is a team that does have incredible amount of depth, and they'll get after some. But I think our matchups are okay. It's just probably more dealing with their depth than anything else.
Austin Peay is 12-8 this year, and they're 5-4 in conference play. Tip-off tomorrow evening is at 4:30. The Kentucky basketball Wildcats have a break in conference play tomorrow when they visit number 7 West Virginia University. The Cats are coming off of a home victory against Mississippi State yesterday when they went 78-65 over the Bulldogs. Coach John Calipari says that tomorrow's game will be much different than the Cats' matchup with Mississippi.
But what we're trying to do is let them know it's going to be a physical game and I don't want to hear anything about fouls. You did not see him grab my arm. I don't care. You're going to have to be physical in this game. You're going to have to meet people before they meet you. You're going to have to be strong with the ball. It's all things you have to do in a game like this. But it's not only against West Virginia. It's probably just about every game we play. It's the same thing.
WVU is currently 16-4 this year. Tip-off tomorrow evening at Morgantown is at 7 o'clock. The NCAA is investigating the Connecticut men's basketball program, according to a report. Hearst Connecticut Media cited two sources Thursday saying that Huskies coach Kevin Ollie's program is under investigation in the area of recruiting. The report stated that the investigation is not related to the ongoing FBI probe into bribery at college basketball programs across the country. The Morehead State baseball team starts full-scale team practices today. The team has had a few days of practicing individually indoors, but today marks the first day they've been able to get outside and work together as a whole. Coach Mike McGuire says that some positions can practice okay inside, but for other positions, it's more difficult.
Pitchers can throw live to hitters inside, but it's not the same for a hitter as far as, you know, tracking in baseball like you do on the field. And then for a pitcher, I mean, you're throwing, but you know, you're not worried about base runners controlling the running game, looking for picks, those things, backing up bases, and you know, having plays made or not played made behind you. All the things that happen in baseball when you're inside, you only do short little sequences of a small part of the game.
Last season, the Eagles went 36-23 and 18-11 in conference play. The Eagles are also returning star outfielder Nico Holsizer, who received a fourth All-American nod for his outstanding season last year. Holsizer had 27 homers and an ERA of 3.49. And lastly in sports, free agent outfielder Lorenzo Cain and the Brewers have finalized an $80 million five-year contract one day after Milwaukee acquired center fielder Christian Yelich from the Miami Marlins for four prospects. The 31-year-old spent the past seven seasons in Kansas City, where he was part of the core group that won the World Series in 2015. He hit 300 with 15 homers, 49 RBIs, and 26 steals last season. And the Miami Marlins will install new netting at Marlins Park before the 2018 season to give fans along the baseline additional protection. The team says the netting is designed to blend with the playing surface and is 30% thinner than the existing netting behind home plate, allowing for better visibility. The new netting will extend the length of both dugouts at a height of 30 feet. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball hosts Tennessee State for a doubleheader on Thursday, February 1st. The women's game begins at 5:15 p.m. and the men tip off at 7:30. You can get tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks closed sharply higher as quarterly earnings continue to top estimates and the economy continues to grow. And the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 223.92 at 26,616.71. The S&P 500 was up 33.62 at 2872.87. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 94.61 at 7505.77. And these are new all-time closing highs for all three of the major indices. Among companies reporting today, AbbVie, Honeywell, Intel, and Rockwell are among the latest companies to report better-than-expected earnings and revenue. AbbVie soared almost 14%, while Intel gained 10.6% in today's trading. Honeywell was up almost 2%, while Rockwell also advanced almost 2%. And overall, this earnings season has been strong because of the S&P 500 companies reporting as of this morning. 80% have reported better-than-expected earnings, while 82% have surpassed revenue estimates. The Commerce Department reported this morning that the U.S. economy grew by 2.6% during the fourth quarter of 2017. Economists polled going into the report expected a gain of 3%. U.S. durable goods orders rose 2.9% for the month of December, and economists had expected an increase of only 0.8%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1% at $66.19 a barrel. Gold was down 1% at $1,348.80 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up as the Stock 600 index finished with a gain of 0.5%. In Asia, stocks were mixed, with the Nikkei down almost 0.2%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up almost 1.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Pfizer, while the worst performers were Caterpillar and Procter & Gamble. In the S&P 500, the best performers were AbbVie and Intel, while the worst performers were Wynn Resorts and Colgate-Palmolive. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $3.30 at $72.41, CSX up $1.77 at $57.91, AEP down $0.93 at $68.77, AK Steel up $0.05 at $6.34, Marathon Petroleum up $0.67 at $71.75, and Dollar General was up $1.54, finishing at $105.29. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
If you're in the market for a new car, van, or truck, don't trade it, donate it to WMKY. Donating is easy. Call 855-WMKY-CAR or online under the support tab at WMKY.org. Your vehicle will be picked up for free and receive a tax donation. Proceeds from selling your vehicle help support programming on WMKY. Donate today by calling 855-WMKY-CAR or online at WMKY.org.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for this weekend, continuing into next week. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 37. Tomorrow, periods of showers, mainly after 2 p.m. with a high near 54. Chance of precipitation is 80%. Tomorrow night, showers, mainly before 3 a.m., low around 38 with a chance of precipitation at 90%. Sunday, scattered showers mainly before 8 a.m., patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 51 and a chance of precipitation at 30%. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Monday, a slight chance of snow showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 37. Chance of precipitation is at 20%. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 32. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 50. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 60 degrees in Inez, 58 degrees here in Moorhead and in Ashland, 57 degrees in Winchester, and 56 degrees in Flemingsburg.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Rowan County Arts Center will host Gimme That Old Time Religion, part of the Back in Time Remembering Rowan's Past series, recreating an old-time revival meeting. Performances are 7:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, January 26th and 27th, and at 2 p.m. on January 27th as well. Tickets are $10 and available at the door or by calling 783-9857.
The Moorhead State Jazz faculty will present a recital at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, January 30th. The concert takes place in the Duncan Recital Hall of the Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. Admission is free and the public is invited.
The Paramount Players will present the stage adaptation of George Orwell's novel 1984 at the Paramount Arts Center in Ashland. Performances are February 2nd and 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $20 for adults and $15 for students. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Ellen Barnett, Jack Caudill, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Arlo Barnett, Chaz Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. Also, Greg Jenkins and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from commentator John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSBR news staff, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.